For the final time in 2024, FPL Pod is back. We tried to solve the headaches of the festive period. We've got Saka and Bruno replacements, keeper conundrums, and my Newcastle and Palace could be the teams to target. We're in that awkward point between Christmas and New Year where no one has a clue what day it is. And probably this podcast coming out now has confused you even more. Yes, FPL Pod back with you. We are usually with you on a Thursday, but it's Saturday the 28th of December. The game week finished on Friday. There's another game week that gets underway on Sunday at 1 p.m. on the 29th of December, that is. So we're back with a preview pod for you. Julian Aron, Sam Bonfield with you. Firstly, I think we're also at that bit of the Christmas, where I don't know whether to say Happy Christmas or Happy New Year, but like exactly at the midway point. So I'm going to say, I hope you had a nice Christmas and I hope you have a good New Year. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year. Did you have a good one firstly, Sam?
Yes, it was really, really lovely. Thank you very much. I seem to have managed to put my back out during it, which has been fun the last couple of days. I think it was sitting on the floor wrapping presents that did it. But otherwise, it was lovely. Having kids around at Christmas is always magical, isn't it? Because they get all excited. So yeah, that was lovely. My FPL team and my football club, not so lovely, but you know, we'll take the wins with Christmas at least.
I was going to say you can ignore that, but for the next 40 minutes or so, you absolutely can't.
I can't.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And Jules, you got rid of the Grinch mode. You embraced Christmas.
What do you mean, Grinch mode?
And took the kids away. I'm joking. You took the kids away, didn't you? You were very, they were spoiled.
Yeah,
by
they
you.
Were very spoiled. We went to look for Santa himself and the elves and the reindeers in Lapland. Really north, really cold, very snowy, but it was an amazing trip. So everybody was very happy.
Okay, well, everyone sounds like they've had a lovely Christmas, which is important. But as Sam said, we do have to discuss the FPL side of things. As I said before, there's a deadline on Sunday. It's all very weird. It's at 1 p.m, 90 minutes ahead of a 2:30 match between Leicester and Manchester City. So we need to get ready for that. But let's just reflect on what Santa did bring us in terms of FPL points. Jules, you had a pretty good week, the best out of all of us.
Yeah, not bad, Kel. 76. There's a lot of things that worked out. And I think it could, as always, with all of us, it could have been even better. But a very strong defense. Henderson in goal, returning, obviously, not conceding. Saliba, Lewis Hall as well. And then for my third spot defensively, it was either Robinson away at Chelsea or Ait Nouri at home to too much to United. Yeah, and I really toyed with the idea of one or the other pretty much for a long time. And I just thought that United would score. I didn't think they would be that bad against Wolves like they were. And I did think that Fulham would concede, but that maybe Robinson would get an attacking return, maybe more than Ait Nouri, considering the new approach with the Wolves coach, things like that. And I was just wrong. So that's a bit of a shame. But then Salah as captain, although Palmer would have got me a few more points. And then I think the big coup for me was Isak coming in. Which was great because he scored. Cunha that I kept because he's still not suspended somehow. So he's there and was outstanding against United. And it could have been even better for both of those because I think Isak could have easily have two or three goals. And so was Cunha. And then for Saka, I went for Martinelli. And it was one I wanted an Arsenal attacker. So it was either Odegaard, Trossard or Martinelli. I thought Odegaard would not be the same without Saka. And to be fair, it wasn't. You could see that there was just not his usual fluidity and the flow because I think without Saka, he's a little bit lost. So it was between Trossard and Martinelli. And I just hesitated for a long time and I had picked the wrong one in Martinelli.
Yeah, I, in the end, didn't sell Saka because I wanted to wait to see what Arsenal looked like without him. He was probably the one I would have gone with, Jules Martinelli, I think. But yeah, we'll talk about Arsenal in just a moment. Sam, as for you, you went for Luis Diaz to replace Bukayo Saka.
Yeah, that went really
well. You've taken
well.
A big glug of tea and you've shook your head. You regretting that one already? Or do you think there's more? Like, it's not just about one game week. We say it all the time.
No, and I knew it was a risk. I didn't expect his dad to be poorly, which I don't think helped the case for him starting. Yeah, it was one of those weeks where I knew it was risky, but I wanted an extra Liverpool player for both the weekend and also, or the midweek and then the weekend that we've got about to come up. So I kind of feel like, well, now surely at least he gets the start against West Ham, which, given they've got goalkeeper dramas after Fabianski's injury, maybe is a good thing. So I'm sort of all right with it. It just meant Morgan Rodgers came off the bench, which, I mean, it's 2 points off the bench. I guess that's fine. My big bugbear was obviously the Bruno Fernandes red card because I was cooking dinner at the point when that went in, and my mother-in-law came in and she was like, Lee told me to tell you that there's been a red card in this game. And I was like,
oh, that is harsh for me, making his mother-in-law deliver the bad news.
His own mum, your mother-in-law already.
She's so lovely. She's lovely, my mother-in-law. And I was like, he's only told me that because we have this thing about not telling each other bad news. So when something happens that affects one of our FPL teams, I'll just go to him. Oh, there's been a goal in like whichever game it is, and he'll be like, is that your way of telling me that my player is like conceded? And I'll be like, yeah. So this was his way of telling me that Bruno got a red card. I was not happy.
At least you have enjoyed Bruno's points hauls recently. I felt a bit sorry for the people that bought Bruno in for Saka.
Yeah,
100%, because that was a really popular transfer. Yeah. I'd had him for a while anyway, and I kind of, part of the reason for not going for an Arsenal player instead of Saka like you guys were thinking about is because I likewise just didn't really know which one to get, and I wasn't sure where to go. So in the end, I thought, well, I'll free up the Arsenal spot and then I'll have time next week, as in going into tomorrow's deadline, to work out how to triple back up in Arsenal again.
It's tough,
but,
isn't it?
Yeah, but now I've obviously got Bruno Fernandes to deal with. Mm. So I'm still not quite sure what I'm going to do, because in my head, maybe going for one of the Arsenal attackers might have been the strategy that I was going to take, or another defender. But now I need to deal with the midfield issue. So yeah, it was actually fine. I think it was a red arrow by about 2K. So it was nothing. It's not really worth being red for. But I was just so frustrated because had Bruno just not been sent off, it's a green arrow and it's fine. But I think when you bring in a player who then doesn't play a minute and have another one get sent off, it's a bit frustrating. But there were some good wins in there. The double Arsenal defence was great. Again, another clean sheet for those two. Had Hall, brought in Isak, which was the right thing. There was plenty of good stuff in there. Just a bit spoiled by Bruno Fernandes getting a red card on Boxing Day. That was not the Christmas present I wanted from him.
My game week was ruined by watching Brighton Brentford live and watching Flecken make, I think it was 7 saves or 6 saves or something. Mm. And then, no, it was maybe it wasn't that many. It was a lot
six,
of saves, is my
six,
point. It was
yeah,
six,
before,
wasn't
yeah,
it? Yeah, it was a lot. And then, of course, before half time, he went off. So at least he got a save point. But I think he still got 3 points, actually, which wasn't bad. Wasn't bad considering he came off. But of course, he did eventually get the elusive clean sheet that I've been so patient and waited for. And now it looks, we obviously don't know, but it doesn't look great for his injury.
Would have been a massive haul, but at least you've got Vladimir Martin as your backup goalkeeper, whereas a lot of people have got Fabianski as their backup goalkeeper. And then you've got goalkeeper drama.
I say what, we'll talk about goalkeepers in just a moment, because as you said, there might be quite a few people looking for new goalkeepers. I also got some points through Gabriel and Kirkes. Cunha returned again, Isak. Also from watching Brighton Brentford, I think I really at some point need to get rid of Pedro, but I think there's a few headaches in my team to sort out before I do that, because yeah, Brighton lost their scoring touch at the moment as that game proved. Just an update on our mini league then between us guys. Sam is starting to really look over her shoulder. She must be grateful there was returns for the Arsenal defence, because I've only got one Arsenal defender, and of course she's got Raya as well, because I'm now only 7 points behind Sam. Sam's on 1,099. I'm on 1,092. Jules is on 1,067. So only 33 points behind Sam and only 35 behind me. So no, that's not right. I can't do math. 35 behind me.
That math was going so well until that moment.
It was.
No,
then
okay. So it's 32 points behind Sam and 25 behind me. Okay, you're a bit closer to me than I realised, Jules, but that's definitely right. So yeah, Jules actually went above Ian, who is still in our mini league. He's on 1,063 points. So yeah, it's cooking up nicely. Going to be an exciting second half of the season. Where at one point, Jules, Sam looked out of reach. We've reeled her back in, haven't we?
Yeah, but we know that's it's the way it happens, and you just need a good few weeks in a row where you've got a decent total, and that helps massively. And then this is what's great about the game, that anything can change pretty quickly.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was at 3.8 million in game week 11. I'm now up to 800,000, I think it is. So it just shows you, you have to persevere. And because I could have, after game week 11, I was like, I'm on for my worst season ever. I still am, but I could salvage something from it. So it just proves that all it takes
is games to go.
Yeah, and that is without a chip as well. Of course, so in the second half of the season, you can really kind of push up with the use of chips, the assistant manager. Don't forget about that, by the way, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, then we've checked in on our mini league, the mini league that you guys join in with as well. Charlie Shepherd is still at the top. That's actually despite him selling in Cunha. And Sam, it could have been worse. You could have had Duran as well. Charlie had him and managed to survive at the top. Potentially listen to Jules's
he did, yeah. Well done, yeah. Charlie. Sorry,
yeah,
bro.
A whole minus two. Cunha got 12. So, yeah, 14-point swing there. Max Littleproud has now cut the gap. In fact, he's cut the gap. They're on the same points. So Charlie's only... How does it get decided, Sam, at the top when you're locked on points?
I think it's to do with transfers made across the course of the season.
I was going to say, it can't be goal difference. Or maybe it could, but yeah. Max's team, by the way, got 71 points this week. He brought in Trent and Saar, which didn't go to plan, but still did really well. James White and his team, Joel Linton and Joya, back up into third, 26 points off the lead. As a reminder, the code for the Pod Mini League is Q7YCO, the letter 0, the number. So do join if you haven't already. Okay, then let's dive a bit more into game week 18. We've touched upon some of the talking points already. Firstly, let's go with some of the negatives in terms of the Bruno red card, Sam. As we already mentioned, he was a popular replacement for Saka. 245,000 managers brought him in. He's now banned for game week 19 and will return for a tricky looking fixture against Liverpool in game week 20. What are you doing and what would you advise managers do?
So I feel slightly differently about Bruno because obviously I've had some good points returns out of him over the last few weeks. So I don't feel quite as negative maybe as some managers do. But he is, as you know, Kels, because I've been talking about it a lot on here, a player that I've been thinking about transferring out anyway, simply because it means I can free up budget. Because there are other Manchester United players, if I want to go there, who are far less expensive and fit into that midfield a lot nicer. But when you look at the fixtures, as you say, it's Newcastle and Liverpool next. There's a nice game in there against Southampton. But then after that, Brighton, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Spurs, Everton... The run isn't great for them in terms of the fixtures. So for me, he's going to be a sell. The question is, where am I going to go from there? And there were some impressive displays in game week 18 and some midfielders that I was kind of looking at. But I think I'm going to use this as an opportunity to target in some of the fixture runs that some of the clubs have coming up, in particular Crystal Palace or Everton, maybe even Fulham. And then invest there at a much lower basis, because then that means maybe I can take a little bit of a fun punt somewhere else on the pitch with somebody expensive. So for me, my recommendation would be you sell Bruno now. I think apart from that Southampton game, which actually isn't until the end of January anyway, the way that the fixtures pan out, then I don't think that there's anything else to hold him for there, particularly given you're missing the next one and then he's coming back in for Liverpool. It's not ideal.
What would you do with him, Jules, if you owned him?
I mean, I didn't really understand why so many people brought him in. I won't lie.
I'm the same, actually.
Really? I don't. I mean, Sam was acquired a while ago, so it's a bit different. But
and she did it around her wildcard time when she had a plan to get rid if she needed to.
But United have just lost 5 out of 7 of the last 7. And the 2 they won in all competitions, and the 2 they won them both really late. They matched the Derby and then Victoria Pilsen in the Europa League in the 88th minute. So it's not like if they set the world on fire already, that Bruno was amazing, that going forward they were great and creating a lot of chances, etc. This is not it. And it's not like he was in form even going into this game. Okay, yeah, I know he had a few returns, but he was not playing that great and neither was his team. So I never really understood why so many people brought him on for this game week that just passed. So I would not have invested in him. If you have now... I don't see anything good coming out of United in the next few weeks. Anyway, I think it will take that much longer for them to get it right that I would probably sell.
Okay. Another red card, John Duran. As we mentioned, Jules's differential last week.
Great pick.
He's your best one, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did look like we were starting to get another forward where some of the other ones have maybe fallen off in terms of form. It did feel like that was a really good pick, Jules.
Yeah.
And he was getting the starts ahead of Ollie Watkins, which is something that we just haven't seen. He's cheap as well, but he's now going to be out for 3 matches. Should we consider Watkins again? Obviously, he's a little bit more expensive.
So I think John Duran was a little bit... unlucky. I was not too sure about the red card. Now Aston Villa have appealed. The appeal has been rejected. So they were hoping that he would get less than three game ban. It will be 3, which is a long time. And I mean, I guess the guy has fought so hard to get his starting place in that team ahead of Ollie Watkins, which is not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. And he did extremely well to get there. And now this is all going to the bin, basically, because Ollie Watkins will have 3 games to show that he should be the number one again, et cetera, et cetera. So, Sorry for the guys who invested in John Durant. I almost did it too, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Watkins is the answer either, because to be fair, when he came, I mean, I know he came on and they were down to 10, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think Villa are playing that great either. I know they had a bit of a better form of late, but I would go somewhere else than Ollie Watkins, especially at his price.
It's a bit tough with the forwards, it feels like, at the moment, because do you still both own Evan Nielsen?
No, I do. Joel sold him.
No, you sold him, which was a brilliant move because he didn't start. He came on for a 1-point cameo. Sam, he's a bit of a problem now, isn't he?
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm thinking about doing is, it was very close for me between selling Joel Pedro and selling Evan Nielsen. In the end, I sold Joel Pedro just because I was so frustrated by his returns, and maybe he was a bit unlucky to stay on the pitch, to be quite honest, yesterday as well. Mm. So if I'd had two red cards in my team, that would have been absolutely not the Christmas present I wanted. But I kept Evan Nielsen, and then when he wasn't starting, I was like, well, sort of not surprised, because actually they've looked good when he's gone off, weirdly, and they've scored goals at that point. But in saving money from Bruno, I can easily afford to go Evan Nielsen to Watkins. So that is something I'm considering for the next 3 weeks, because the next 3 weeks are actually quite nice for Aston Villa. It's Brighton, Leicester and Everton. So should be some opportunities in there for some good returns for him, because I'm finding the forward line a bit difficult, because I quite fancy the Fulham forward line, but then it's so difficult to know whether you would go Jimenez or Muniz. So that's kind of rules them out for me. You've got Mateta at Crystal Palace, who again I'm thinking about, but I really like the Eze and Ismail Assar picks in the middle. So again, that kind of rules Mateta out for me. Like, it's hard. So I think picking new forwards right now, maybe I go Jackson, but then Jackson's form has just disappeared over the last few
and
weeks.
He came off when Chelsea were really pushing for a second in that game. Obviously they went on to lose 2-1 and he came off.
Yeah, exactly. So that I'm finding difficult to navigate as well, because I really like the Chelsea fixtures. I really like Jackson, but the form just hasn't been there. So it is hard with the front line. I think for me right now, a punt on Ollie Watkins for the next 3 weeks, given there's no risk of rotation now, actually feels like something I might do. Mm. Because at 8.8 million, he is affordable. When he was 9, it was that little, I know it's only 0.2 million, but it's still hard to find 0.2 million here and 0.2 million there. But with the Bruno money now not really needed, going from Evan Nielsen up does make sense. Or I could go from Solanke up, because yes, I've still got Dom Solanke in my team, but Evan Nielsen feels like a bigger priority sell for me than Solanke does.
Yeah, the forwards are interesting, Jules, aren't they? Because the ones that you kind of want to own, two of them I've got, in terms of Mateus Cunha and Alexander Isak, who you guys now both own, copying me as usual. But Cunha's an interesting one, because we've been waiting to hear from, after that charge with the FA last week, we still haven't heard anything. He's obviously played and returned in the last two games. They play Spurs this weekend. So for me, if we don't hear, I would like to risk it, because Spurs don't have many defenders available for that game.
Yeah. So, I think I'm playing.
And he's got the form. So if he is available, you Absolutely. Can't really sell him. And then the other four, but you wouldn't invest in him at the moment either, because you don't know if or when that ban's going to come. So I feel quite lucky almost to own him.
Yeah.
And then the other forward is Alexander Isak that we've all got, and he's pretty much the best forward in the game right now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. He's probably the best striker in the league, full stop, right now in terms of form, if you don't count Mo Salah really as a striker. Yeah. He was outstanding in that game. He scored one against Villa, down to 10, as we've been saying, but he could easily have had two or three plus an assist or two as well. He's just so good all around, and I think Newcastle have that momentum now. I think they're up to fifth maybe in the table, or sixth. And I think he's a very, he's more than interesting. I think he's a must have right now, really, especially as more and more managers are selling Erling Haaland. And I think again, this week, Sam, is Haaland for Isak, or Isak for Haaland. I don't know which way we put it.
It's the most popular transfer combination.
That's right. And rightly so. I mean, right now you would not keep Haaland, who misses penalty and is in a team that has won one in 13, whereas Isak is absolutely on fire.
Yeah, I agree. It does feel like it's Isak plus the other two, whoever you want to go with. Let's talk, continue with the theme of, sorry, headaches. And it's a theme that Sam often has a problem with, goalkeepers. Oh. But it's actually now
not
me.
Not so much right now.
It's actually probably me that has the bigger headache with goalkeepers at the moment. As we mentioned, Flecken went off injured. And then, of course, as well, Fabianski was subbed off for West Ham through the concussion protocol, and therefore he won't feature in game week 19. A lot of managers have both of these goalkeepers, so people might be shopping for a new goalkeeper. Firstly, if you're like me, Sam, and you've got Flecken and then Vadimarsson as your backup goalkeeper, would you just play Vadimarsson? The one thing I would say is Brentford's fixtures don't look nice.
They don't look nice, but it does mean it's not a priority position to change, I think, because there will be other things in your teams that potentially bring more points returns. So selling Saka and using that money to get a decent replacement for him probably feels like a bigger priority for you, because you do have a goalkeeper that will play at least. Whereas if you've got Flecken and Fabianski, then you probably do need to deal with that as a priority. And then I think you've got a decision to make as to what you do. So you can either stay in the kind of budgety price point. Since Jules has owned him, Henderson has been quite good, actually, and the fixtures look nice for Crystal Palace. And if you don't want to have a defender spot used on Munoz, then you could absolutely go for Henderson in goal. That looks like a decent option right now. The other option that I kind of quite like also is to go for Pickford. We're kind of coming out of Everton's really difficult phase and going into a nicer period for them. And we've seen that with Pickford, he is really good at attracting additional points, whether it be for a penalty save or bonus points or save points. He seems to be one of those goalkeepers that even if the clean sheet doesn't stick, he does attract those additional points, which is something that we like in FPL. So there, or even Leno at Fulham, I think the three of them are probably my preferred goalkeeper picks in that budget. If you can afford to go higher, then obviously I think Raya is the goalkeeper of choice right now.
Could you go Alisson as well?
You can go Alisson, and he's slightly cheaper than Raya, but I just kind of feel like Arsenal's defence are more secure. Like, Liverpool just seem to have this knack of just conceding one. Like, even against Leicester, they just conceded one. It knocks out the clean sheet. And that's frustrating when you're spending that level of budget on something. It's how I feel about Trent. That's why I've not bought Trent in yet, because just losing the clean sheet on a regular, it's not that they're defensively bad. It's just one little bit of sloppiness here or there, and it costs you a clean sheet, and that's a bit frustrating. Whereas I kind of feel like with the likes of Henderson or Leno or Pickford, because you're not paying a premium price tag, if the clean sheet goes, but you still pick up 3 or 4 points for save points and things like that, you don't feel as bad about it. Whereas with Raya, I just think that he's the one that is the preferred premium goalkeeper right now, because Arsenal's defence is that much more solid.
Do you agree, Jules?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I just think if you already have an Arsenal defender, and you can double up like Sam does, and when it's a good week, then straight away you've got at least 12, if not more, like this week when Timber got, and rightly so, he was the best player in that really poor Arsenal game. He got the 3 bonus points, and suddenly it's 9 and 6 or 9 and 7 for you, Sam, with those 2 players, and he's great. If you already have an Arsenal defender, you can go for another goalkeeper, not Raya, cheaper, and still get good return. I just want to say a little word for my brother, Alphonse Areola, obviously, who's been waiting to get back into the goal for West Ham and got his chance due to the sad injury of Fabianski. But now he's going to play Liverpool, Man City, and then Aston Villa and Chelsea.
When he's, like six. He's got him on his bench. He could just play him.
Of course, I could not. As you know, I can't get rid of him, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Do you have to play him as well, though? Or can you just sit on the bench?
That we can negotiate. But like, I was so happy. I was sad for Fabianski, but also happy for Alphonse to be, so he would be playing again. And then he's got probably the worst run of fixtures of any goalkeeper in the next 4 weeks. So,
tricky run of fixtures for him. Baptism of fire, potentially coming back into the team for that. Okay, then. So a few possible goalkeeper replacements if you are shopping for one after this game week. I meant to follow up when we talked about Isak, actually, because I think it would be remiss of us to keep on talking about Newcastle and not talk about the other players as well. Obviously, Isak will get the headlines and he's the obvious buy and potentially almost verging on essential at the moment, particularly given what's going on with the other forwards. But should we be looking to double up now, Jules, do you think? Anthony Gordon getting that early goal as well. And he looks like he's kind of really hit some good form at the moment.
Yeah, that's a great goal. Mm. But I mean, for me, it's Murphy that could be, and it was going to be my differential this week. And I hesitated. I went for somebody else. But I think Murphy had an amazing game on Boxing Day. Fantastic performance overall. I think there's just one assist to show for it. But I thought he was outstanding. And I think he's been great since the start of the season. And Gordon is more... he's more of your premium and he's more far more expensive and more flashy and score goals like he did against Villa. But I think Murphy, if you don't have the money to go to Gordon, if you don't fancy Joelinton, because with Joelinton, you just never know, you can have an amazing game like he did against Villa, but then be a bit more defensive, a bit more quiet in a game where Newcastle maybe just play more on the counter with the front three. But I think if you can't get to Gordon, which Gordon is a great idea, Kels, I think, if you can have Isak and Gordon, I think for the game against United, for example, on Sunday, that should be fun to watch. Then go for Murphy, because I think he's been as important, if not maybe even slightly more, than Anthony Gordon.
What do you think, Sam?
Anthony Gordon is one that I'm looking at for sure. Yeah, so he has blanked just once now in the last six games after that goal at the weekend. Mm. He's got 34 points in that period. And amongst the Newcastle players, he is second for shots and shots on target with 15 and 6 respectively. Obviously, only Isak has better underlying stats. And I think it's 7.3 million. Given you'll be looking for Saka replacements or Bruno Fernandes replacements, you're still saving budget, whichever way you look at that. So it's still throwing up a significant chunk. And I just think, for me, he is a player that I did think about. He and Jarrod Bowen were both players that I really thought about for the midweek when I went for Luis Diaz. And either of them would have been a better pick. But I think both of them offer at roughly the same price point, 7.3 for Gordon and 7.5 for Bowen. Both of them offer some really nice differential routes into teams that are starting to put some momentum behind the underlying stats, and Newcastle in particular. I think I've already got Isak and Hall, but trebling up on them makes sense, particularly without European football as well. You don't have that worry coming back into the new year about, you know, tiredness in the same way that we maybe did last season with them, where we sort of ummed and ahed about investing from that basis. So I am really keen on Anthony Gordon. I just think that it's one of those things that I'm going to have to think about in terms of the budget. And if I do want to get Ollie Watkins in, that's going to take a little bit more thought if I want to do Gordon as well.
Yeah, 11 goals scored for Newcastle in their last three matches and three clean sheets as well. Mm. It's Manchester United away next, then a trip to Spurs, then Wolves at home, Bournemouth at home, Southampton away and Fulham at home. So Jules, could you even be tempted? You've got Hall as well. Both of you guys have got Hall. Could you even be tempted by a treble up, maybe, if you want to go Isak Gordon Hall or Isak Murphy Hall?
Yeah, and I think they're really in great form. I think their key players, Isak obviously, but even Gordon, Sam just mentioned the last six games, I think it was, or something, or five games. Before that, he was maybe not playing at the best like he is now. Same with Bruno Guimaraes, same with Joelinton. Even defensively, they've been much more solid. Mm. Even without Nick Pope in goal, Dubravka was playing on Boxing Day, they were still very good. And I know Villa went down to 10 very early, so it changed things a lot, obviously. But I think Newcastle are the team to invest in right now, maybe more than Chelsea and more than anybody else.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And I think Tonali being back is massively helping the way that they're playing.
At that level too,
yeah. So I think they're the team that I'm looking at. Like, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think when you double up on a team, you're kind of like, okay, well, I'm doubled up. That feels good. But I still watch Newcastle and think I don't feel like I'm covered enough, even with Hall and Isak. So yeah, maybe Gordon comes in as well.
Okay, let's finish off this section this is maybe because I haven't sold Saka, but by talking about Liverpool and Arsenal, because for me, I didn't sell Saka because I couldn't decide. I was going to go Jota, but I didn't want to go Diaz. I thought Diaz would get the start. He didn't. I didn't want to go Jota because I wasn't sure of his minutes. I also wanted to watch Arsenal to see how they looked without Bukayo Saka and then make my decision as to who to bring in. Lots of other managers have sold Saka because his price has been going down. But for those who haven't, and for those who maybe are still looking for a midfielder, but maybe a Bruno Fernandes replacement as well, maybe a lot of people will be looking at Liverpool and Arsenal. Let's start with Liverpool because, Sam, as you said, Luis Diaz didn't feature at all. Jota had another cameo. He's, of course, getting his way back to fitness. But they've got West Ham in game week 19. As you've said, you're probably more likely to get your start from Diaz. When are we going to see Jota start? Do you think he's going to be ready to start soon, or do you think this trend could continue? I'm aware you haven't got on a slot on speed dial, by the way.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I'll phone him up in a minute. It's difficult, isn't it? Because it was a serious injury, right? So they do seem to be treating him with kid gloves, for want of a different phrase to say. I think he just is being looked after and managed back in, because they don't want to repeat, or, you know, that injury, they don't want it to get worse. But I think there's a good chance that the West Ham game, we see that front three back starting. The thing I would say is that Cody Gakpo does not deserve to be dropped, because he's playing so well at the minute. So he scored for his third consecutive home game in a row, set up the assist. It's his best return of the season so far with 12. It would almost be amiss to say, right, Cody, I'm well done for all that you've done while these injuries have been happening, but now you're out. So whereas I think with Darwin, he's not played particularly well when he's come on, so he can be moved out. But that front three, it's kind of, there's four of them really. And so you're always going to have someone. So it was a risk, but I felt like I wanted to double up on Liverpool. Like at the moment, owning Mo Salah is almost pointless, because you have to have him. But otherwise, it's just kind of like, well, he's just going to get points. He's his 16th goal of the season. There were 5,395,998 managers who captained him. That was his biggest ever captaincy return the whole time that he's been in the game. Basically meaning that you just have to own him, and that he's not really going to do much in terms of your rank, which is why for me, I was like, well, let's get somebody alongside him, because then I make those Liverpool wins count for something, a bit like I've done with the Arsenal defence. Everyone's got one, so let's double up, because that means that you can get some returns out of them. So yeah, I think... Do I regret the Luis Diaz thing? I mean, maybe a little bit, because he didn't play last week, but equally I'm hoping that he gets the start against West Ham at the weekend. And Jota, he's going to get a start sooner or later. So if you're one of the managers that went there, I think you hold him as well, because there will be some rotation, particularly when we get back into the European matches and obviously the FA Cup come the new year. So yeah, hold for now if you bought them in. I'm not sure that I would invest now, though, because I think it's even harder than last week to call who's going to get that start.
Jules, Arsenal then, they got the win against Ipswich. First game without Bukayo Saka. It sounds like he's going to be out for at least 8 weeks, I think it was, or a couple of months. Mikel Arteta said, yeah, you did get the feeling that he was playing it down a little bit, didn't you? I was hoping that Jesus was going to show something, because, of course, we all need a forward, it feels like, at the moment, because I'm going to be offloading Cunha at some point in the next, well, I don't know, it might be today, it might be the next week, who knows, and João Pedro. I'm still not convinced by Jesus. Where are you at in terms of Arsenal?
It's interesting, because we said it when Odegaard got injured. I think Arsenal can maybe cope without Bukayo Saka for 2-3 games. More than that, they would struggle. And it pains me to say it, but it's the truth. Even last night, it was difficult because Ipswich played so defensively, especially in the first half. They had 11 passes after 25 minutes. Can you imagine? That's one pass every 2 minutes for a whole team. I think that's surely a Premier League record from Ipswich. So it was not easy. And I think it's one of those games where the flow is just not there. The rhythm is just not there. It's very slow. But they get the win. They got the win, and that's the most important. But you could see already that Odegaard is not the same without Saka there. That Timber is not really the same in some situation, because he played really well. But without Saka in front of him, Martinelli offers something different. To start with, he's right-footed. When Saka is left-footed, he doesn't position his body in the same way that Saka. So there's so many things, and Arsenal will have to get used to having Martinelli on the right wing instead of Bukayo Saka, and that will take some time. So I'm a little bit worried of going forward, the productivity, and maybe then the shift is going to go from the right, where it's always been their stronger side, to the left with Trossard and Maj Lewis-Kelly, for example, who did really well against Ipswich, or Calafiori when he's fully fit and back, or I don't know, whichever way. But that right-hand side, even though the guard, I fear, won't be the same now with Bukayo Saka in his output to the team and his impact on games. So I went for Martinelli because I thought, okay, Ipswich is good, and then Arsenal is still going to be good going forward. But now I've got a few doubts on the Arsenal productivity going forward.
So would you say, a bit like Liverpool, it feels quite hard to pick one, would you say hold fire on Arsenal and investing now, there's better options elsewhere in that midfield and forward?
Yeah, although we saw Trossard and Havertz returning. So if you fancy Trossard, who's really low owned, I think 1.8%, because I was really tempted to go for Trossard instead of Martinelli. I think it's good to have an Arsenal attacker. I'm not really sure. Trossard seems the one who is the most important. If you don't go for a forward, as in Havertz or Gabriel Jesus, if you look at a midfielder to just replace Saka position for position, let's say, in the game, I think Trossard is probably the one in the best of form who will play on his favorite side, which is the left-hand side, where Martinelli's favorite side is on the left as well, but now he's going to play on the right to replace Saka. So maybe Trossard is probably the best, and it's a proper differential, even more than Martinelli.
Okay, well, that's what we learned from game week 18. A lot of frustrations coming out of that game week, it feels. But from game week 19 onwards, we're going to take a look at the fixture ticker now and the teams that are at the top. The main reason we're going to do that is because as soon as the deadline passes on Sunday, the second wild card will become available to us. So a reminder, if you have somehow still managed to keep your wild card, even I've not kept this long, guys, then do get it played before the next deadline, because you don't get to keep it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So yeah, a lot of people, I'm sure, will have already planned when they're going to play their wild card, or will be playing it in the next week or two, because maybe their teams need a lot of surgery. But it is this time of year, I feel like, new year, new start in terms of life and the calendar year, and maybe you're looking at new teams to target in FPL. So in terms of the fixture ticker, I'm going to read you the top five teams. It's Crystal Palace, Southampton, Fulham, Chelsea and Newcastle. Now, we've already spoken about Newcastle in depth. We've touched upon some of the other teams, but Crystal Palace have got Southampton in game week 19. Then it is Chelsea. Then it looks a little bit nicer again. Leicester, West Ham, Brentford and Manchester United in game week 24. Sam, you've already mentioned it. There's a few nice options, particularly in midfield at Palace at the moment.
There's a lot. And I am very, very keen to invest in Crystal Palace. I think Munoz is the obvious one because of how attacking that he's been lately, and the fact that the clean sheets are starting to stick, like we were talking about for Dean Henderson earlier. But the midfielders look like an interesting option with those fixtures coming up the way that they are. So Ismaïla Sarr is in great form right now. And Eze maybe isn't in the form that Ismaïla Sarr is right now, but we know what we get with Eze. And over the last few seasons, we've seen him be unbelievably good for us in FPL. So Palace are definitely a team that I'm looking at. The other thing I like about them is that they're massively cheap. So when it comes to investing in that midfield, you can get a really nice cheap option from Crystal Palace, or defensively, or as your goalkeeper. Mateta's a little bit more in that front line. I think he's 7.1 now. So you're going to pay a little bit more for him. But with the others, you're paying less. And that transition from, say, a Bruno Fernandes or a Saka to them gives you a lot of budget to play with across the rest of your team. So, yeah, Crystal Palace are right top of my shopping list going into game week 19, and then doubling up on them probably for 20, well, probably not for 20, but definitely for 21 and onwards feels like something I'll definitely be doing.
Jules, would you look at either Sar, Eze or Mateta at the moment?
I mean, you know, there's only one answer here. Boom, Mateta's in the room. Happy Christmas.
I nearly didn't put Mateta in that question because
I would have sang the song. Yeah. This is the best song ever created for a Premier League player. Yeah, I think Sam is right. I think Palace are good going forward. They will be, I think they struggled a little bit against Bournemouth. And rightly so, Bournemouth at home have been excellent this season. And Sar was quiet, and Mateta was quiet. I think Mateta had one shot. Sar maybe two. Eze was the one trying to create, but they're good on set pieces. Defensively, they can be very solid as well. Lacroix, Gueye, Chalobah, Henderson, as we mentioned already. The wing backs are interesting, especially on the right-hand side. So I think there's a lot there who could be very interesting for your game, depending on what you're looking for. But yeah, I think Southampton at home, especially on Sunday, tomorrow, is really good. So I would go easily. Eze was, again, another differential that I was thinking of. But Sar is a really good pick, I think.
Just don't pick Gueye for this week because he picked up his fifth yellow card.
Yes,
exactly. Very good reminder. Southampton are second on the ticker. Jules? Anyone?
No, thank you.
Okay, I knew that would be quick, and I knew you wouldn't
good,
even. But
good luck to Ivan Juric, because he's a really good coach. He's a really, really good coach. And they've got some good players, and Ramsdale's coming back is huge for them, but I would not invest in any of them. Sorry.
Okay. What about Fulham then, Sam? You mentioned it before, you're desperate to invest, but I think we're seeing, aren't we? It's impossible to know if Muniz or Jimenez is going to start and who's going to return, even if they do start.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've got Robinson, happy to have him. He's great. But I think there's so many quandaries at Fulham right now. It's Muniz versus Jimenez. It's Castagna versus Robinson.
Yeah, where would you go on that one? Because it feels like maybe with Muniz and Jimenez, you just keep away.
I think so, yeah. I think with the front line, you just kind of go, I'll stay away. And if I want to go for an attacker, I'll go Iwobi. That feels the safest way.
The one, yeah.
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 But the defenders, it's interesting because Robinson is clearly the best pick, I think. I don't think that's even close. I think Robinson is far and away the best pick at Fulham. But he is significantly more than Castagna is. So if you need to save budget, and maybe at this point, it's a bit of a weird thing to say this, but because we're all selling Bruno and Saka and we've got all these other options that we could come down to, maybe we don't need the budget quite as much. So affording Robinson might be easier. But if you are thinking, no, actually, I am tight, I'm tight for budget for whatever reason, then I think Castagna is a decent option if you can't afford Robinson. But if you've got the budget for Robinson, then I prefer him.
Okay, well, we're going to have to move on because, as always, we've gone on for quite some time. So there's a lot of games and talking points to go through. Just an update on the suspension tightrope. As Sam reminded us then, Mark Gahey, don't invest in him this week because he picked up his fifth yellow card of the season, will now be suspended in game week 19, along with Matty Cash, Cliver, Ayu, Szoboszlai, Ugarte, Yates, Rodriguez and Suchek. Feels like there's a lot of suspensions this week. Bruno Fernandes, as we mentioned, and Jed Spence both face a one-match ban. They got a red card for two yellows in game week 18. As we also mentioned, John Duran is out, but he's out for three matches. His red card was for violent conduct. Mudryk remains out. Now, we've also, this is good news, actually, because I don't have to keep reading about this in every podcast, because we've nearly reached the end of the first cutoff point for suspensions. Players needed to get five yellows in the first 19 matches. Apart from Liverpool and Everton, all teams will reach that point this game week. So then we'll be watching for 10 yellows over the first 32 matches of the season. The race to be the first player to get 10 begins. Okay, then it's that time of the week. It's differential time. A terrible week, guys, let's be honest. Terrible for Jules.
I was really unlucky.
Your player got a red card for violent conduct. We're not debating whether it's a red again. It's not this this podcast is not the time or place for that, Jules. He got a red. They did their best for you. They appealed it, but unfortunately...
You'd have still got the minus points, though, yeah, regardless, because the game we could close.
I deserve an extra minus, point. It's not my
minus
fault.
Two for John Duran. And yeah, but Jules, you would have taken the credit if he'd scored. Sure. And 1 point for Jota, because he, of course, didn't start.
I'll take that as a win.
That's worse.
That's a win.
Narrowly,
mine didn't get sent off.
Sam wins that week. So that does mean she gets to go first. Who's your differential this week?
We've mentioned him a lot on this podcast, or I have anyway. It's Ismail Assar. So he is only going to cost you 5.8 million. He's only owned by 2.9% of the game. And since game week 12, he's got four goals and two assists. Only four midfielders in the game have more attacking returns than him in that period. One of them Saka, one of them's Palmer, the other two Sharder and Murphy. So some decent returns from him. In the same period, he's created seven chances for his teammates. Four of them have been big chances. And it's not just about the chances created, is it? It's about the quality of them. So the fact that over half the chances he's created have been big ones is good. He's had 18 attempts on goal in this time. That's the same as Anthony Gordon. It's more than the likes of Bruno, Son, Saka, Foden, all of these really expensive players. And he's sixth for expected goals across midfielders and seventh for XGI, expected goal involvements in the same time. Faces a Southampton side who've got just two clean sheets this season and who have conceded 37 goals. Only Wolves and Leicester have conceded more than that. So Ismail Assar is my differential and possibly might be my transfer in this week as well.
Okay. Yeah, he's someone I'm considering as well as a potential Saka replacement. Looks like it's going to be him or Gordon for me. Jules, who's your differential?
So I went for Morgan Gibbs-White and Nottingham Forest because he was outstanding, I thought, in the game. Sorry, Sam, to remind you. I'm surprised we've got this far.
We've got 45 minutes in and you've not mentioned the fact that Spurs lost. Thank you. Appreciate that, both of you.
But I left that off our game week review because I felt there was bigger talking points because also hasn't everyone sold all their Spurs players already.
No, I've still got Solanke because, why not?
As I mentioned, forward headaches.
Exactly.
We don't really talk about teams that are in the second half of the table. Anyway, so Morgan Gibbs-White is in the top half of the table. He is returning three of his last four games now. 6 points, 8 points, 13 points. There's a lot of bonus points there because he just does everything, not just assisting or scoring, but he gets so involved and I just love that about him. It will cost you a little bit more than Ismail Assar, 6.3 million. But he's owned by less than the managers, 1.7%. So again, proper differential, a bit like Trossard that we mentioned earlier. They've got Everton and Wolves in the next two games. Then it's Liverpool, okay. But the next two look good from a Nottingham Forest team in great form. And if they are that good, it's because Gibbs-White is at the heart of everything.
Yeah, it feels like we've kind of stopped talking about Nottingham Forest while they've continued to kind of rack up the points, isn't it, really? I feel a bit bad about
that. I wonder
who
writes the script.
Do you know what? Selling Chris Wood is one of my biggest regrets over the last few weeks. Going from Chris Wood to Evan Nilsson, I know he doesn't get anything in this game, but he is a forward that you can trust. So if you have got big forward headaches, we should give a shout out to Chris Wood because I do think he's an option and will continue to be. Okay. I know, it's fine because I've got Big Dom. So, you know, we won't worry.
Okay, then transfers and captains, how we always end this podcast on. As Jules rightly mentioned earlier, a lot of people are bringing in Isak. The most popular combination so far this week is Isak for Haaland. We've not owned Haaland on this podcast for a little while now. The second most popular is Gordon in for Bruno Fernandes and Palmer in for Saka. Isak in for Jackson. So yeah, a lot of themes that we've talked about in this podcast are being reflected in what you guys at home are doing. But I'm intrigued to know what you guys are doing. Jules, I'm going to give you a few more minutes to think about your transfers because you probably haven't yet. You've been
I'm on this, absolutely.
Oh, go on then. All right, you can go first.
Yeah, very easy. Probably nothing.
Nothing?
Well, yeah.
So boring.
What would you mean boring? I just brought in Martinelli and Isak. I still have two free transfers. I've got
Jules
plenty of money in the bank.
Jules seems to do this. He likes to let them build up, it feels like. And then,
More seriously, I think if you brought in Martinelli or even Odegaard
to replace
Saka.
You've got to wait, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think they need a bit of time. We need a bit of time and they need a bit of time to see if they adapt and if they are adapting to this new life without Bukayo Saka because everything was going through Saka so much. We need a bit of time. So, I mean, Brentford away, I would fancy Martinelli to have an impact on the game for sure. So I'm happy with him. I might probably goes on the bench, even if they are home, but it's against Newcastle. So then Rodgers are home to Brighton. So my team looks good. So I'll keep and roll on the free transfer.
Sam?
So I'm going to sell Bruno Fernandes. Either I'm going to go to Ismaïla Sarr or I'm going to go for Anthony Gordon. I haven't decided which one yet. If I go for Ismaïla Sarr, it gives me the money to go Evan Nilsson to Ollie Watkins. But that would give me a massive benching headache because then my front eight, I'd want to play all of them because I want to play Morgan Rodgers at home to Brighton this week. And he's historically been my bench option. And even like we laugh at the Dom Solanke pick, but I can't bring myself to bench Dom Solanke at home to Wolves. No. Like that would be crazy. So even with my Spurs goggles in play, that still feels mad. So the thing, I might just do one transfer this week and then get either Ismaïla Sarr or Anthony Gordon. At the moment, I think I prefer Ismaïla Sarr simply because I really do like those Crystal Palace fixtures and I don't have anybody yet from Crystal Palace, whereas I already do have two Newcastle assets in play. So I might just try and cover out the Crystal Palace fixtures that they've got coming up by having him and maybe look to double up with Munoz at some point in the coming weeks as well so that I've got a defensive and attacking player from them. But yeah, definitely Bruno's being sold, probably for Sarr. That's how I feel like I'm going to go.
Are we going to have another boring captaincy chat and also we're captaining Mo Salah because he's in ridiculous form and we've got the fear?
Mo Salah for me, definitely. Although Palmer against Ipswich is tempting.
I think there's options, isn't there? I think Palmer against Ipswich is definitely tempting. I think Isak against Manchester United is tempting given they're without Ugarte because he's suspended and Bruno Fernandes because he's suspended. So I think they're options. I just think for me, with the way that Salah is playing right now, I don't really want to take the armband off him against a West Ham team that's missing Suchek and is missing their preferred goalkeeper at the moment in Fabianski. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with Salah, but I do think there are options. So if you want to look outside of the Egyptian King, then Palmer and Isak for me would be the two I'd look at.
Yeah, every week I think, oh, Isak could be a nice option this week. But then out of the fear of not captaining Salah, I don't do it. And I know a lot of managers feel the same. But yeah, a few nice options for you this game week as well. Okay, then a reminder, your deadline is 1 o'clock on Sunday. Set your alarms, guys, because it's an usual time, 90 minutes ahead of the 2:30 kickoff between Leicester and Man City. Don't let it catch you out. We'll be back at our usual time on Thursday to look back on game week 19 and head to game week 20, the first deadline of the new year that will be. The Fantasy Show will also be back next Friday. I'll be back on that as well. As always, please leave us a rating and a review. But as this is the last time we will hear from you, you will hear from us even in this calendar year, thank you so much to everyone for listening to us. Jules, do you want to end the year on a song? Go on, I've put him on the spot here.
Oh, God.
I was going to say, we wish you a Merry Christmas, but that's too late, no?
Yeah, just sing Saliba.
Saliba! Happy New Year, everyone. Bon année.